Blog Talk Radio.
WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Good morning, Bride. Good morning. This is your host today, Dr. June Knight, coming to you just right outside of Nashville, Tennessee, today with Bride Time Live. Yay, we are so excited to be with you today. Listen, today is a very special broadcast. We just had to go live today because of who we are interviewing today. We have a prophetic powerhouse on the line with us today. Hello, Prophetess Kendria Moore. How you doing, sister?
I am wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here, June. Oh, wow. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And, you know, I'm already rejoicing, and I'm so glad in it.
Amen. Well, Bride, let me read you her bio and tell you a little bit about her before we get started today. Prophetess Kendria Moore, a Longview native, answered her prophetic call to ministry back in 2008, where she operates in spiritual healing and deliverance. She has traveled all over the world, allowing God to prophetically guide her as she brings members of the body of Christ back to their original calls. Kendria always knew that she was gifted to prophesy, but later found out that there was a greater prophetic call on her life as a global prophet. She spent many years pouring into people's lives by way of the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't until 2012 that she fully decided to operate in her global gifts. It was at this time that she surrendered herself by giving God a real yes. And now he is using her at his very best. She is totally humble in her approach and is thankful for Dr. Juanita Bynum, Dr. Cindy Trim, and Evangelist Jacqueline Carr, who have all helped her give birth to her vision. Wow, that is an amazing story, Prophetess. But listen, we know that there is a story behind the story. So if you don't mind taking us back in time and telling us, where was you born? Was you in a big family? What's your story?
Well, oh my gosh. My story is very, very simple but yet complex. I grew up in a small town called Longview, Texas. All the way, some people would call it East Texas, far in the country. And I was there all the way through high school. And this is where I believe God started birthing me into my purpose. This is where I began to really understand who I had been called to be at a young age. I remember, June, giving my life to Christ when I was 10 years old. And I first said yes to God. Not 10. I was 8 years old when I said yes to God, and I gave my life to Christ. 8 was the number of new beginning, and at that time I didn't know it. And so I used to get into a lot of issues in school where I was labeled. I became the subject. And at that time, I didn't understand why I was a subject. What I did not know is that God was preparing me for the prophetic anointing that is on my life today.
Right.
It was at the age of 8 when I was in elementary school, and I had a counselor at the school that had literally put his hands on me, and he began to touch me inappropriately. And so I never told anyone, but the counselor did warn me if I ever told anyone that he would make my life miserable. And me being a kid, I didn't understand what that meant. I just knew not to tell anybody, and I didn't know what was going to happen. So one day I was at school, and the counselor thought that I had said something, and I remember him getting physical with me and grabbing me and holding me. And I started crying, and he said that I was going to get it. He said that he was going to pay me back for what I did. I didn't understand, June, what pay me back mean. And so it was days later that I realized that I got called in to start being tested. And so I had to take a series of tests, including an IQ test, to find out what my mental state was. Now, remember, I was only 8 years old around this time, ten years old around this time. And so as I took the test, I was told that my IQ was below average. That time when I thought that I was dumb, thought that I was mentally challenged, it was put in my head that I had mental issues, and I began to take a medication called Ritalin. And so I became so clever at taking the medicine to where I would take it and I would pretend that I was taking it and I would put it in the trash. Because deep down on the inside, I used to hear God speaking to me saying, don't take it. I had conversations with God at a very young age. In fact, I was at a global ministry. Now Bishop Noel Jones was my pastor back then, before he became world-renowned. And so I had a very strong Christian foundation. And I believe today that that's what kept me, was being in church. You know, back in the day, we were in church like 7 days a week. Church was like normal. Today you have a choice, right? You have a choice.
Yes.
Right. You have a choice now. Whether you want to go Sunday, whether you want to go once a month, 3 times a month. But back then, church was mandatory. So I was in church 7 days a week. We worshiped, we prayed, we literally laid on the floor. Everything happened. We were in church all the time.
Right.
And so at that time, you know, right? You know, I had a strong relationship with Christ. But what happened was, not only was I labeled and I was told that, you know, I had mental disabilities. I went to a school. I remember transferring from one school and I went to another one. I told my mom I really didn't want to go. She didn't understand why. And at my new school, the counselor had plotted against me. And so he started telling other people at the other school to do things to me. So there was another counselor at my new school. He took a chair and he put it in the middle of the classroom. And he told everybody, he said, I want you to pretend like this chair is Kendria. And he had
me to stand on the wall, June.
He had me to stand on the wall. And I remember standing on that wall, and I had my hands in front of me. He said, I want every student in this classroom to pretend like this chair is Kendria. He said, and when you walk past this chair, I want you to show your feelings toward the chair. And so some of the kids walked by. Some of the kids kicked the chair. Some of them threw the chair across the room. Some of the kids spit on the chair. And some of the kids never even touched a chair. But that was a pain that sat in a deep part of my heart, because I never would have expected a counselor to do something that extreme.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that, a counselor is someone that you can go to when you have a problem, or, you know, someone you can talk to when you need, to understand the situation. So my counselors became not so much my enemies, but they were the ones who did so much mental damage, who tried to do mental damage to me at a young age.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went through all of that, and I started, you know, when I went to middle school, I got into literally fights every day. Someone always started a fight, and kids would tell me that teachers would pay them to jump on me. They would pay me to fight them, and I'm thinking, really? But it was all a part of the labeling. It was all because one counselor didn't want me to tell what he did to me. So he was going to keep me, you know, my mouth closed. He was going to do everything he could do to make me become the problem when, in fact, he was the problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's like making your victim become the victimizer. And so I grew up thinking I was a problem, even though I wasn't a problem. And, you know, I went through years of going through that and, you know, kids not liking me and me being the subject, you know, and I had to fight. Fighting for me was protecting myself. That was the only way that I knew out. I didn't know how. I didn't want to fight. I never started a fight. But it was like I had to fight. That was the only way that I could protect myself. I found safety in fighting. It was a safe haven for me. When they would kick me out of school and send me to SAC or a place off campus, I became the hero there because I was very intelligent, even though I was told my IQ was below average. When, in fact, once I graduated, the same lady that told me my IQ was low, she apologized to me and said, in fact, my IQ was higher than the norm. And it was at that point, June, that I started excelling, even in college. I graduated, you know, with a 3.6, graduated from with my master's with a 4.0. I had all A's and B's in my master classes. It was just my whole life shifted. And I know one of the things that really kept me back then is I started writing plays at the age of 12. And this is what I love. Many people don't know. And so I used to put together a plan, and I would go to different companies and write a letter and say, you know, would you sow toward my ministry? And I had a ministry at 12, and it was called United Neighborhoods Inspiring the Youth, UNITY, United Neighborhoods Inspiring the Youth. So imagine me at 12 years old, June, I had a bank account, and I was putting money in the bank account, paying off the plays, and we had over thousands of people in an auditorium at 12 years old.
Wow.
It was powerful. God was using me even at that age. So the plays became another way out from going through what I was going through. But once again, I want to just bring about the point to the listeners that I didn't even know that there was such a strong anointing on my life. And I didn't know that God was preparing me for today. I became all of what God said and none of what they said.
Yeah.
And so when people look at me today, they say, you know, you've never been through anything. You know, it's you can see, you know, on the outside, things are beautiful, but you never know where a person has come from. And so that's why I fight so hard, because when God gave me this ministry, Prophetic Flow Ministries, he said, I'm calling you to the nobodies, to the ones that have been labeled, people that have been pushed to the side, the ones that have been rejected and told that they would never, ever be anything. Those are the people that I'm calling you to push out. Why? Because you've been there. And I believe, June, that in order for us to be able to bring somebody else out, you have to know what it feels like to be in that same storm. And not
right.
only do you have to know what it feels like, but you have to be a person that has come out of something. If I've never come out of a storm, how can I tell you to come out of a storm?
Yeah.
And so I just believe God really, really allowed me to go through the storm, and he allowed me to go through all of these trials, but it was for my making and not my breaking.
Right, but you've got to tell us what happened to that counselor.
Let me tell you, June, I never told. I never told on him.
Yeah.
I held that secret with me throughout high school and all the way through college.
Wow.
And it wasn't until 2008 that I wrote my book. I wrote my first book, Single Parent Who Me, When a Woman Has Unexpectedly Do It All Alone, but it wasn't until a few years ago, just a few 3 years ago, that I wrote my book. And it's called Labeled. They Said, But What Does God Say? And I finally told the story.
Oh.
20-something years later, I finally told the story.
Wow. That just makes me cry.
Yes. But you know what I love, June, is that I was getting my healing. I didn't know that all these years I was holding on to the pains of what I didn't understand at that age.
I bet.
And as I was writing and typing my book, I remember crying and the tears was falling. But I was going through a healing process. God was really healing me from the inside out.
Yes.
And he was letting me know that it had to happen that way. in order for me to use you the way that I'm getting ready to use you, with a global anointing and a global ministry,
yes,
because I can trust you and you've been through so much to where you would never turn your back on me.
Yes.
He said it had to happen this way. You had to go through the storm. You had to go through the trials. He said, count it as a blessing. And so
yes,
I started counting it as a blessing, even though I didn't understand it. I said, Lord, I thank you for the trial. Because without the labeling, there would not have been a prophetic flow ministries.
Exactly, yes.
And I want to encourage somebody that's listening right now, because, you know, maybe you're going through something. Maybe you're being, you know, you've been labeled and you were the black sheep in your family. And maybe your mother told you you would never be anything. Maybe your father is out of your life. But if God can take somebody like me, someone like me,
yes,
and he could allow me to go through what I would call is a metamorphosis. You know how you go through the cocoon and your situation seems ugly, it seems, you know, jacked up or messed up to the world. People look at your situation and they think that, you know, everything about you is ugly. Your situation, it appears to be very rough, like a diamond in the rough.
Right.
But here's what I believe the beautiful thing is, that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I am able to ask or think. And he brought me out, and I came out a beautiful butterfly. And I want to encourage
yes,
you listening that he's going to bring you out, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, no matter what your trial or your storm is. I believe that
yes,
God will bring you out, and you will
yes,
not look like what you've been through.
Right. Now, Prophetess, I've got to interject something here real quick. You know, that sentence that you said a minute ago when you said all those things had to happen because of the destiny that God had for you. And, you know, like I told you before we went on the radio, how I've interviewed the 300.
Yes.
I have noticed that, Prophetess, because all these people have been through horrific things. And then if they followed the plan of the Lord, because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. If
yes,
they give the pen to their book and let him finish the book the way that he meant your life to be, whatever they went through growing up or through these tragedies, he turns it around to help multitudes of people. The key
yes,
is, Prophetess, is if people get bitter. The devil wants people to get angry and bitter over this harm done to them or over this situation or trial or tribulation, and then they stay so bitter that they can't
yes,
move and see how God can turn it around to help so many other people. You see what I mean?
Yes. You're right, June, because, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking that it's not about you. It's not about me. And that's the understanding
right,
that we have to come to, is that
yes,
we have to remove ourselves out of it and say
yes,
it's about God and his glory. God wants to get the glory out of this.
Yes.
And when I began to shift my thinking and say, how can my God be glorified out of this situation, then my responses became different. I responded
yes,
differently because I realized it's not personal. It's
right,
a part of the process. And that's what we have to do as individuals. We have to understand that God has called all of us to great and mighty works. It doesn't
yes,
matter who you are. It doesn't matter
yes,
if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. God said, I will use a donkey. If he got to use a donkey, he'll use a donkey.
Yes.
If God to use a donkey, that means he'll use even an infant, a baby.
That's right.
In order to
come
get
on,
his glory. He's looking
that's
for those
right,
who are willing and those who are able. And I just believe that when we come to the understanding that it's not about me.
Yes.
But it's about who else can I help? Who else can I bring out of this? Who else can I tell that I've been there, but look at me now? And when we start thinking like that and we shift our, it's like a paradigm shift. When we shift our thinking, then we'll understand that, you know, God is going to be glorified out of this. I can't take
right,
it personal, but I got to go through the process. That's good right there. I cannot take this personal, but I have to go through the process. And knowing that you're going to come out of the process, because God says, I'm not going to give you no more than you can bear. So what am I saying, June? I'm saying that if God gave it to you, in other words, he's saying that you could bear it. Even when you feel like you can't bear it, he's saying that you can bear it. Why? Because he's God, Jehovah Jireh. He never sleeps nor slumber. He sits high and he looks low. And he created you. He created me. He created everybody. So, God, he knew us before the foundation of this world and this earth. And so he knows us. Even when we don't know ourselves, God knows us.
Yeah.
My God, I'm just so excited.
I believe that's word for the hour today, Bride, is no matter what your story is, it is your story. But your story is meant for God's glory. So whatever it is that happened to you, God can turn it around. Okay, Prophetess, we're going to take a quick little commercial break. And when we come back, Bride, you are going to hear the word of the hour from the Prophetess. All right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hello, Bride. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
All right, Bride, we are back on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Listen, Bride, you can check out all of these interviews on our website at watbradio.com. We are also on Twitter at watbradio. All right, Prophetess, you have the floor. Bring us the word, woman.
Yes, well, you know, I just believe that there is a word for it, the people that are listening in. And God is saying that this is a season of greatness. Greater works shall you do. Those of you who are listening in, God wanted me to tell you that this is a season that he's going to use you mightily. He said, I'm calling those that are last to be first and those that are first to be last. He said, this is a season where I'm going to use the unexpected to get my glory. I'm not going to use the average person and the person that those are thinking that I'm going to use, but it's going to be the person that's least likely expected, which is yourself, those who are listening in. He said, I'm looking for those that have been rejected. I'm looking for those that have been pushed to the side and those who don't mind stepping out of the way and saying, God, none of me and all of you. And so I just decree and declare right now, if you're tuned in, that God is getting ready to really make your name great. And this is a season of greatness. It's a season of God saying you can have bigger and better than what you can even expect. In fact, I prophesy right now in the name of Jesus, whatever you speak out of your mouth, you shall have it just like you speak it. I prophesy that in the next 7 days that God is getting ready to turn your financial situation around. And whatever you're in need of, God is going to send a release, a financial release over your finances, over everything concerning your life. I pray even right now for those that are listening, saying, Prophetess, you don't understand. I'm dealing with the illness on the inside. I hear God saying that when you begin to worship, he's going to send healing your way. I prophesy right now that the healing angel is getting ready to meet you right where you're at, and that angels are going to surround you even in your current situation. I hear God saying, tell the people that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you're listening right now and you're saying, I'm in a situation to where I don't think I can make it. It seems like I'm going to fail. It seems like I'm going to give up. But I want to speak to your spirit man right now and say, rise up in the name of Jesus. I prophesy that every time you step, every time you move your feet, the Holy Spirit will carry you to your destiny. God will take you to places that you have never been in the mighty name of Jesus.
I thank you right now, Jesus, that your name has a strong power, God. And you said every time we call on your name, there is power in your name. And everything has got to break at the name of Jesus. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that when we call on the name of Jesus today on this air, whatever situation you're in, I prophesy that it will begin to break. And even under the sound of my voice, you will feel the anointing. The anointing comes to destroy the yokes. And I thank you, Lord, for your anointing, because without your anointing, anointing yokes will not be destroyed. And so I hear God saying, yes. He said, yes, people have spoken negative things against you. Yes, people have come against your name. Yes, people have said that you are this and they've said that you're that. He said, but if you would just focus on the anointing and on the assignment that I have for your life, the words of your enemies will become your next breakthrough. The words of your enemies will become your next stepping stone. He said, allow your enemies to speak, because if they're not speaking, I'm not using you. And so I want to speak right now to those of you who are saying, Lord, you know, I don't know if you're going to use me in this season. I don't know if you're speaking to me. I hear God saying he's waiting on you to get silent. If you become silent, he said, I will give you everything you need. He said, the reason you can't hear me is because you're, he said, this is a season of silence. He said, I'm calling you not only to be silent. When you become silent, your enemies will become silent. And so I prophesy right now in the name of Jesus that God will begin to open up your ears, and he will allow you to have ears to hear. Whatever he's speaking, I speak it over you right now in the name of Jesus, that this will be a season of no return. I hear God saying double. Yes, he said double.
Yes.
I'm giving you double, double for your trouble. Those of you that are listening said, Lord, you know, I just don't know what you're doing. He said, I'm giving you double. This is a season of double, double anointing, double blessings, double whatever you need, double, I'm giving you double. And so, God, we thank you for your word, God. I thank you, God, that the enemy has no power over the word that has been spoken over your people. And, God, that you would allow this word to confirm what you've already spoken, God. I thank you, Lord God, that this word will be sent out to do and accomplish what it has been sent out to do, God. It shall not and it will not return void. And God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We give you glory, give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Woo! I
my God, thank
fire.
You, Jesus.
I am on
hallelujah.
Fire. When you said that about when your enemies are not speaking, it means that I'm not using you. Do you know how many times... If people get so mad when the devil is talking.
Yes. My God.
Yes.
Jesus, Jesus. You know, June, I'm so on fire for God right now. It's just, I feel the spirit of the Lord. I feel God moving. And I know there are people that are listening right now, and maybe you're worshiping in your home. Maybe you're worshiping while driving down the street. But I hear God saying, if you would just worship me in the midst of your trial, if you would just worship me in the midst of your storm, he said, just worship. When you begin to worship, he said, everything that you're worshiping him for, he said, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to lay it in your lap. In fact, I hear God saying, we are all just like the fishermen in the boat. If you would just turn your net over to the other side, he said, there is a multitude of blessings waiting on you. He said, just turn your focus. Turn your eyes. Maybe your eyes are in north, and he's saying your eyes need to go south. Maybe your eyes are west, and God is saying, take your eyes and place them east. But I hear God saying he's getting ready to send blessings that you don't even have room to receive. In fact, you're going to have so much that you're going to have to give it to somebody else. It's going to be too much to contain. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yeah, God is getting ready to activate you. He's getting ready to activate your gifts. He's getting ready to push you to a level of no return. And you're asking the question probably, why? Why would God choose me? Why would he choose somebody like me? Why would God even consider a person that have been through all of what I've been through? Well, if you go through the Bible, there are plenty of stories of many disciples and many stories in the Bible where people have been rejected. And their lives were literally messed up, and those were the ones God used to get his glory. So why not you? Why would not God? Why would God not choose you? My God. Oh, Jesus. You know, June, I'm so excited. I'm so just on fire right now because, you know, the enemy wants to keep people in a place of defeat. He wants to keep us, you know, in a place of thinking that everybody's against us, and he wants to keep our minds saturated with negative thoughts and negative opinions. He wants to keep us locked up in a cocoon, making us feel like we'll never come out. But I just prophesy right now that if you are in a cocoon, you are coming out just like a butterfly.
Yeah.
In fact, when you come out, you're going to spread your wings, and you're going to fly like an eagle. I speak over your life right now, and I say that if you're sitting, God is going to allow you to stand. And not only will you stand, but you're going to rise above every situation that is holding you bound right now. And anybody that said that you could not make it and you would not make it, I prophesy today that you shall make it. Not only will you make it, but I hear God saying it is your time and it is your season. Your season is now. In fact, you are overdue. It's like a woman having a baby. And you know, and she's pregnant and been holding this baby. I think they call it back in the day a stillbirth. And so I speak right now that in this season there won't be any stillbirth. In fact, you're getting ready to push whatever is lying dormant, whatever spiritual baby that you have to give birth to. I speak over your life and say you shall and you will give birth. There will be no more miscarriages. I hear God saying there will be no abortions. You shall push and you shall give
birth. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Oh, God, we praise you. Oh, God, we praise you. We worship you.
Lord.
We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for being Jehovah Jireh. We thank you for being Jehovah Nisi, God. We thank you, God, for being our provider, even when we just think that everything is going to not work out in our favor. We thank you, God.
Yes,
Lord. We thank you. If we can just remember that it's not about us, that it's about what God wants to do through us, that's when God will use you. That's when he will call favor to literally overtake you. And speaking of favor, June, I just want to minister to those who are saying, I'm in a situation right now and I need favor. And the Bible tells us that there's power in our words. And we have the power to speak a thing as though it is and it shall be. And so I prophesy that favor will begin to follow you. And that favor will become a magnet. You will become a magnet to favor, and favor will become a magnet to you. And every time you walk out of your home, favor will find you. Not only that, favor will know your name. And I believe God is getting ready to start dropping your name into other people's spirits. He's getting ready to open up major doors of opportunities. Why major? Because he's a God of major. He's not a God of minor.
That's right, amen.
Come on, he owns everything. There's nothing in this world that he does not own.
Yeah.
And God wants you to have the best. Everything about God is the best.
Yes.
And so for every door that has been closed, I speak that it shall reopen, and this time you shall enter in. There won't be any blockages. There won't be any hindrances. And every person that tries to stop you, the Holy Spirit will cause your enemies to move. And they will kneel down and they will honor you as you walk through the door. This, oh my God, what God is saying today is just so amazing. And as people of God and the ministers and those that are listening in, the bride, you know, we have to know what God is saying and who we are. And speaking of the bride, you know, when I hear, you know, the bride of Christ, that we are the bride, and the bride that is listening, you know, it took me to, it's kind of like a bride and a groom. You know how, June, when the bride and groom is separated before the marriage, you know, they're separated before the actual wedding, the day before you separate them. You know, it's the same way with us. It's like God is, you know, it's a separation. We're waiting for him. We're waiting for the coming back of him, you know, and that's what I think about when I hear the bride. We're waiting for that great reunion. And so I just want to speak over the bride right now and tell the bride, as you are waiting, as you're patiently waiting for the return of your bridegroom, and for the return of your bridegroom, I hear God saying, I'm going to do more than you can even imagine. I'm going to do more for you in 2 weeks than you could have done for yourself in 30 days. 2017 end just as good as 2018 will start. So what am I saying? God is going to give you so much within the next few weeks before the end of this year. And your 2018 is going to be even greater than what your 2017 ended. In other words, I'm saying it's going to be great and it's going to be even greater. June, this has truly blessed me. It's truly, truly been a blessing. What God is doing in the season is mind-blowing. And it's literally unheard of. He is really blowing our minds. And so I want to just briefly talk about June, you know, the nobodies. Because maybe somebody's listening and they don't understand who the nobodies are. And they hear me saying the word nobodies. You know, who are these nobodies? When you say nobody, it could be thought of as a very negative connotation or negative word. When I think about nobodies, the nobodies are really somebodies. They're people who have gone through the storm and the trial. They've gone through so many things, and no one wants them around. The nobodies are those who are less liked. They're those who have been, you know, they don't fit in with the average crowd. They're the people who people say to them that we really don't want you around. We like the thought of you, but we really don't like you. The nobodies are those who have been called as the Josephs in their family. They're the ones who are truly anointed and the ones who have everything that they need to succeed, but it appears that they have nothing. The nobodies are those that have been labeled and have been told that they'll never be anything, told that they would never, ever make it. Those are the people that I'm speaking about when I say the nobodies. God has called me to a group of people to help push them to purpose. And I believe that if you're listening live and you need to be pushed to purpose, that God is saying that this is your season, you're going to go forth in all that he has called you to do. Because, June, you know, sometimes it's like, we do for everybody else, but when it's our time, no one does for us. Those are the nobodies. We're the ones that pour into everybody else. We pour into this vision. We pour into that vision. We pour into this vision. But nobody is there to help pour into what we're doing. And so I've been anointed to literally help push people to purpose and to show them who they are, and who they've been called to be, and who God has called them to be. And to let them know that you are great. There is greatness on the inside of you. No matter what you're feeling, no matter how you know what you've been through, there is greatness on the inside of you.
Yeah.
You know, God is going to use you. Yes, He has called you for such a time as this. No matter what your background is, no matter what your history is, He's called you.
Yeah.
So I believe that God has called me to those group of people. For such a time as this, because he said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So I'm just letting you know, June, and those that are listening live, that we are first. We're getting ready to take our rightful place right here in the earth realm.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to take our rightful place, and the world is getting ready to know who you are.
Yes, now listen, prophetess, I am going to confirm this word, because when I started radio 3 years ago, I have a master's degree in corporate communications. At that time, I didn't have my doctorate, but the Lord told me, do not get the big names on here. I want the ones who have no name. Because in the beginning, I was doing it the way we were taught in school. You know, you try to get all the big names to pull in your audience. And so I said, yes, Lord. And I started going after just whoever God connected me with. Oh, my Lord, the Lord did such an amazing thing, because he started putting me with people, and every time they would preach, it would build upon the last one, and they didn't even know each other. It was the Holy Spirit letting everybody know, I am moving in the undercurrent of this nation. There's a shifting taking place,
wow.
Basically. Yeah.
Wow.
So that is amazing. God is about to use the nobodies. See, what it is, Kendra, we have brought up a society where we elevate people. And so the ones that are not at the top of that pyramid, you see what I mean?
Yes.
They feel like God can't use them, but God's letting them know now, I want to use everyone.
Everybody. Everybody. Why? Because, you know, it's, you know, he wants people that are not going to take his glory. God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
yes.
a jealous God.
Yes.
He doesn't want to share
Please.
Anything. He doesn't, come on now. He doesn't want to share. He doesn't want me to love somebody more than I love him.
Yes.
That and so, yes, you know, so it's like we have to know that, you know, what God has called us to do, we have to know that, you know, if God is, you know, that you are anointed, you are appointed.
Yeah.
He needs your anointing. We are earthly agents in the earth realm doing
yeah,
what God
maybe.
Has called us to do, and we take no glory. You know, Joan, when people
yeah.
look at me and they say, you know, that prophetic word really blessed me, what you said hit home for me. I always say to God be the glory.
Yeah.
Because I understand that it's not me, it's God, it's the God in me.
Yes, amen.
And that's what we have to know.
Yeah, something else about us as ministers that we have to be really careful of when you say it's not about us, it's about God working through us. That's why we
mm-hmm.
cannot take the glory, because we are just in the right place at the right time. When somebody
yes.
gets healed, when somebody gets saved, when a sign, a miracle, or a wonder happens. But the reason we can't take the glory is because of all the 100 people in the kingdom that plowed towards that. These are people that have prayed, have loved that person, have helped them to have enough faith to believe for that healing and all of this. You know, it's not about us. It's about the kingdom as a whole. Everybody's playing a part. We just happen to be the ones to actually see, you know, the manifestation happen, but it's a culmination of everybody.
Exactly, exactly. You made me think about something else, too. Right, you know, one of the things that I had to really understand with this walk is obedience. And the Bible
yes.
tells us obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
Had not I been obedient to the call of God and what God has called me to do, I don't believe that I would be here right now.
What do you mean by
it
that?
Took,
explain.
You know, it took a lot of obedience. In other words, what I'm saying is that
oh, yeah.
when God gives you an assignment, you have to
yeah.
do it the way he say, even though you don't understand. When he allows you
yeah.
to go through the process, you have to be obedient to go through the process. Sometimes we can
yeah.
say, you know what, I'm not going to go through this. I'm not going to be obedient. I don't want to go through this. You know, I don't want to love my enemies. I don't want to be friends with people who, you know, sometimes we can get very, you know, stubborn with God. You know, I've had my days
yeah.
where I would say, well, Lord, why am I going through this? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you? And he's looking at me like, really? Really? It's for your making and not your breaking. You know, it's to better you and not to worsen you. You know, I have those conversations
yeah.
with God. Holy Spirit is my BFF, June. So sometimes we have
yeah.
that conversation to where, you know, I'm like, God, really? Like, I'm your favorite. How can you
yeah.
allow me to go through this?
Yeah.
And he said to me this year, he said, I'm going to allow you to have a Job experience. You know, when he said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I believe God
yeah,
said,
yeah.
you know, Satan, have you considered my servant Kendria?
Yeah.
He didn't even call me prophetess. He just said Kendria. He wasn't looking at
right.
a title. He was looking
right.
at a person who say that they love him. Have you considered her?
Right.
Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to take this from her and take this and take this and then allow her to go through this and then allow her to go through this. But I want to see if she could still serve me. But what I didn't realize, June, is that after God allowed me to go through an experience to where I felt like I literally lost everything.
Yeah.
He gave me more than what I had before I lost everything. And that's the kind of God I serve, you and I serve.
Yes.
A God
yes.
who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Above all that we can ever ask or think.
Yes.
And I couldn't have asked for something bigger. When I first started ministry, to be honest with you, I didn't want to do this.
I bet.
I said to him, come on, you know, June, I was like, you didn't call me, you know, not to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I like people, but
yeah.
I'm like, Lord, I don't want to deal with people like that. Can I just be real, June? You know, I was like, Lord,
yeah.
You didn't call me to talk to people every day. You didn't call me to pray for people and to lay hands on people. When I go home, I'm ready to go home. Some days I find myself, because I gave God a real yes, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning praying. 10 years ago, I don't know if God could have got all of this out of me. 3 o'clock in the morning, I would have been asleep. Saying, help me, Jesus, let me go to sleep right now. You know, so, people don't understand that there's a process behind being in ministry and being called. It's not easy. You know, a lot of people want...
Yeah.
You know, they want the fame behind it, or, you know, I don't even know if it's fame, not fame for me, but people sometimes want the glam and they want to be acknowledged to be this and that, but they don't understand the process behind it.
No, they don't.
When I first started hosting revivals, and I host revivals all over the world, and so we're going to be in Ponte Vedra, Florida, in the end of the beginning of December. December 1st and 2nd with myself and Apostle John Eckhart. And it's a free conference for everybody to come to all over the world. When I first started hosting revivals, I remember walking the streets with my two children. I didn't know anything about a conference. Speaking of obedience, I heard God say, just do it. You know, like Nike say, June, he said, just do it.
Yeah.
I became the shoe, like, you know, just do it. I had a little Nike shoe on, just do it. And I didn't know. I said, okay, God, you have to lead me. And so I began to go out and walk around and shake people's hand and say, hi, I'm having a conference. You got to be here. Now, people would say to me, why do I have to be there? Because God has something for you. God's going to do something for you. He's going to move. You got to get here. By the time I finished with those people and the Holy Spirit used me, they were like, okay, not only am I coming, but I'm bringing my cousin and my cousin's cousin and my boss and my friend. And can I bring 10 people? I said, in fact, you could bring 20. And so it was so funny that even my children began to speak like me. And I remember my daughter was only like 5 or 6 years old, and she would walk up and pass out flyers, and she would say to the people, you know, my mom is having a conference, and you should be there because the Lord is going to be there, and he's going to move, and he's going to do something great for you. And so my kids became an evangelist to what God had called me to do because of my obedience. And can I tell you, June, my very first conference that God allowed me to do, we had over 1,000 people that showed up out of obedience. That's what God will do when you are obedient. He said it's better than sacrifice. Oh, my God. He said it's better than sacrifice. Yes, it is, because let me tell you, and this is encouraging for those that are listening, because maybe God has given you an assignment. Maybe he's told you to write a book. Maybe he said, you know, I need you to start this business. I need you to start this company. I'm giving you witty ideas to create wealth. And maybe you're sitting on the idea. But had I not went forth because of a word that I heard, and this wasn't something someone whispered in my ear. No physical person ever came to me and said, you should do this. Holy Spirit spoke to me directly in my ear. And I believe out of my obedience, God has expanded my territories. He's expanded my region. And he's given me more than I could even imagine. All because I gave him a real yes.
Right.
And my yes wasn't predicated on what God could do for me. My yes was predicated, June, on what can I do for God? I found myself saying, you know, the song, how they say, you know, Lord, you know, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. I found myself saying, God, no, you can use me. But 5 years ago, I was saying, Lord, I don't think I want to be used like this. You didn't tell me that it was going to be like this. You didn't tell me that the rejection would become greater. But what I didn't understand, June, is that, come on, the rejection became my protection.
Yes.
Even when I was a little little girl, the rejection became my protection. So what I'm saying is that rejection is good. Rejection is needed. If you're not being rejected, maybe something is wrong. The enemy only comes against those
that
who are doing something. You know, he only comes against those who are making things happen. And if the enemy is not fighting you, you know, maybe you should look at your life and say, who am I really serving? Because the Bible tells us that, you know, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he's trying to kill, steal, and destroy what you're doing, that means that you're doing something great. That means you are a child of the Most High.
Yes.
Because if he's not trying to kill something and he's not trying to steal something from you, he's not trying to destroy nothing from you, that just means that you're a part of his kingdom.
Right.
Because he's not messing with his own. So I just want to, you know, just encourage people that are listening that, you know, it's needed. Your trials are needed. Count it as a blessing. That was the word God gave me. He said, whatever you're going through in this season, I want you to count it as a blessing. Somebody spit on you, count it as a blessing. Somebody talk about you, count it as a blessing. You don't get the promotion you thought you should have gotten, count it as a blessing. Because maybe God is saying he didn't want to promote you on that job, but he has a bigger job for you in the next 6 months.
Right, amen.
Somebody don't ordain you, count it as a blessing. Maybe God is saying he doesn't want you to be ordained under that ministry.
Right.
Because he doesn't want anybody to take his glory and to say, had it not been for them, you wouldn't be where you're at. See, Joe, God knows the heart of people. He knows our heart even when we're not speaking.
Yeah.
And I just believe that, you know, we have to count things as a blessing. Even though it may not look like a blessing, we got to count it as a blessing.
Yeah, because it's him protecting you, yes.
God is protecting us from people. He's removing us.
Yes.
It's all a part of his plan. And we
yes.
can't always see the end of the matter, but we always have to see ourselves coming out. We have to see the victory. Even though it doesn't look like victory, we have to see victory. And that's what I
right,
talk about.
Right.
You know, the mothers back in the day, how they used to pray themselves out of situations. They had old hymns that they sung. You know, they would sit all night in church and they would call on the name of God. And, you know, we don't have that now. Now everything is I'm going through. I'm struggling.
Amen.
You know, I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. I don't want to climb up on the rough side of the mountain. I want to climb up on the right side of the mountain. You know, I don't want to climb that mountain, not the world mountain. You know, I just want to serve
funny.
God.
My dad is a country music singer, and he went gospel. And I remember him singing that song. I'm coming up
on the rough side of the mountain. Just put me on the right side of the mountain. Put me on the anointed side of the mountain. Come on, put me
Come
on the part of the mountain
Woo.
That will bring me, you know, will bring me to my knees to worship my Father.
Yes.
Put me on the side of the mountain where I will always be a winner and never a failure. Put me on the side of the mountain where I climb high and I never look low. I don't even look down.
Yes.
Put me just where I can excel and I can supersede and I'll never fail.
Yes, Lord.
I just want to be on the right side of the mountain.
Yes, that is some good preaching. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
You know, basically, this whole hour is summed up in these words. When God says no, we love him anyway. We
yes.
trust him in the valley. We trust him through it all. Because we know he sees the bigger picture. Amen.
Amen.
All right, sister,
Amen.
We're going to pray. We have the honor, the bride across the world, to pray for all of our guests, and actually we believe that they're on the brink of promotion. So we partner with heaven the bride coming together in agreement and praying for your mission, that your mission on earth will be successful, and that God will give you all the tools and strategies that you need to accomplish your mission. Because remember, bride, when we pray, we are sowing. We're sowing into her vision and into what God has chosen for her. This is her lot in life. Come on now. So we are just partnering with heaven today. Everybody bow your head. Lord, we come together in agreement. The bride across the world for prophetess Kendria Moore. Lord, we thank you that you brought her through all that suffering when she was a little girl, all that shame, all those negative things that were poured into her life by using other people. Lord, I just see it right now in the spirit, Lord, that was a prophet in the making. That was God giving this girl a visual of the world and how the world speaks to these prophets and the rejection that comes, so that she would learn at a very young age not to be moved by the mouths of men. Come on now. Lord, we thank you that you called her young. We thank you that I read this scripture the other day, Lord, where you said in your word not to look at the faces of men. And that is what you have brought this girl through, because of the power of the word of God that's going to be spoken through her to the nations. That she does not look to the right or the left, but she looks to you, where her hope comes from, Lord. So the bride across the world, we're in agreement. Lord, move mountains for this woman, Lord. Bring her all of the tools and strategies that she's going to need to accomplish this mission. We call it in right now from the north, south, east, and west, Lord.
Yes,
we thank you and give you praise, Lord, that you have called her for such a time as this, Lord. We're partnering with heaven today, Lord, giving her all of the things that are in that storehouse, because, Lord, you're the author and finisher of her faith. You're the one that began this mission, and you're the one that's going to be faithful enough to finish this mission. And we, as the bride, we are in agreement with it, because your word says that when two or more agree, that prayer will be answered. And the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. And we know that our prayers are a beautiful scent to your nostrils, God. So we thank you and give you praise today, Lord, for her destiny being successful, her mission being accomplished, you giving her favor, opening the doors, giving her intercessors, people that will stand at the gate and block the enemy, so that she can go in territories and in places and tear down those strongholds, partner with other ministries that are already there fighting those territorial demons, because we know that our battle is not with flesh and blood. It's with the principality and the powers of the air. I thank you, Lord, that her governmental authority is increasing. The governmental authority, when she goes in these regions, Lord, and that she is speaking into the atmosphere and causing heaven to come down to earth, because we have dominion and authority. And we thank you and give you praise, because you're raising up prophets today, Lord, like Elijah, that will use that authority that you have given us, Lord, and she is one of those. And we thank you and give you praise that we were able to hear from her today on this broadcast, Lord.
Yes,
bless her in every way. Heal her body, Lord, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And everything that has been spoken over her through the spirit of witchcraft or jealous Jezebels, we pull those out now in the name of Jesus every day.
In the name of Jesus, we tell you,
you got to fall down to the word of the living God.
Yes, right now
in the name of Jesus. We surround this prophet and plead the blood of Jesus over her today, and
say that no weapon
formed against her shall prosper, and all them that rise up against her shall fall. We thank you, Lord, rising her up right now. I see a sword just coming in her hand, a sword of fire, Lord. We thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord.
Yes,
being
God.
Being on this woman in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor today, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Now, sister, if you would pray for me and this radio station, And for the bride, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, and Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, God, for you being Jehovah Jireh and being the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, God. I thank you, God, for giving us life and that life more abundantly. God, we thank you, God, for this radio broadcast and June, the host. I pray, God, that you would anoint her afresh and that you would begin, God, to open up doors, God, unexpected doors, unheard of doors, God, for her, for whatever she needs, God. I pray right now, God, that you would strengthen her, God, even in her weak days, God, and where the enemy may try to come against her and let her think that what she is doing is not enough. I pray, God, that you would open up not just doors, God, but you would open up major opportunities for her, God. People would begin to call her from all over the world, even in other countries, to say, what can I do to be a part of your vision? God, I pray that this vision is not just for Tennessee and the other surrounding states, but it's a global vision. You're opening her up for global airways, God, where people are going to hear her all over, even in South Africa and in Canada, God. I thank you right now, God, that this is a season of double for her, God. Double shall she receive because of her heart and of obedience. She shall receive double, God. I pray, God, that even at nighttime when the enemy is just trying to fight, that you would strengthen her, God, even in her legs. I pray over her right leg, God, that you would give her so much strength in her right leg. I come against every attack of the enemy in the name of Jesus, God. I lift her family up, God. I pray, God, that you would even bring restoration, God. God, there's people that she is desiring to be saved and set free. I pray, God, I stand in agreement right now for those people to give their life to Christ, God. I hear God saying, June, that even on your broadcast, he said that he's going to use you in a way that he's never used someone right there in your region in Tennessee. He said he's going to use you to break the spirit of witchcraft just right there in the town that you're living in. There are a lot of people who come against Christianity, but God said he's going to use your broadcast to bring those people to Christ. And so, God, not only do I pray for June and the station, God, God, I pray, God, even for the bride, those that are listening, the ministers that are tuned in, God, that you would continue to cover them in your blood. You would let nothing come against them. I pray, God, that whatever visions they have, they shall go forth in those visions in this season. God, that you would give them witty ideas to create wealth, God. I pray, God, that you would allow them to connect with other great mindsets and other great leaders all over this world to help push their vision to another level. I pray for those brides who are considered as nobodies, God, that you would allow them to go to the front of the line overnight, God. You would give them an overnight blessing, an overnight ministry, God. Whatever is lying dormant, God, that you have blessed them today, God, just to believe you, God, to be a God of impossibilities in their situation. I thank you right now, God, that not only are you calling them to do greater works and greater things, God, God, but you're giving them, God, a platform, God, that they don't even qualify for, God. Thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God, that those that are listening live, the bride will understand the prophetic word that you're about to speak about passports. I hear God saying this is a season of passports. And if you don't have your passport, he said, go and get your passport because I'm going to use you in other countries. I'm going to use you in other regions. The other regions are waiting on your anointing. They're waiting on your story and your testimony. And so I hear God saying he's opening up doors in other regions. And this is a word for those who don't have passports. I pray, God, that not only will you bless the bride that are listening in, God, God, but that you would order their steps like never before, even when they feel like their steps cannot be ordered, God. If they go to the right and you desire for them to go left, I pray, God, that you would send an angel to push them in the direction that you have called them to go in, God. I thank you for the word that you've given today, and I thank you that it shall not and it cannot and it will not return void. And, God, that you cover the blood, cover the word with your blood, God, and that nothing could come against your word and come back and snatch back what you've spoken in the mighty name of Jesus. And June, I hear God saying that there's an anointing in your right hand. He's called you for healing and deliverance. And this is a season where you will walk heavily in healing and deliverance. People will be healed by you laying of the hands and you praying over them. He has called you to heal, heal hearts. People with broken hearts is what I hear God saying. He's going to use you with helping people to build their heart. And, God, we give you glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know what? My mother just passed in January, and she had the gift of healing in her hands. When we would be at a meeting, her hands would catch on fire, and she would say, somebody's fixing to get healed. That was her manifestation. So the day that she died, I was laying in her bed, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, do you want your mother's mantle? And I said, I wanted her to have it, Lord. And he said, do you want it? And I reached up and I grabbed it out of the air and I said, yes, Lord, I want my mother's mantle. So I received that word. I do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesus. To God be all the glory.
Yes, Lord. There's so many hurting people out there right now. You know it. So many hurting people. Yes, Lord.
There's a lot of hurting people.
Yes.
Well,
thank
people
you for being
been...
on the broadcast.
I thank you so much for having me. And I want to say one last thing. There are people that have been hurt and people that are dealing with a lot of church hurt. People that are dealing with a lot of hurt from, you know, just being a Christian and giving their life to Christ. They've experienced more hurt in the religious world than they have in the world. And so I just want to encourage those that are listening, saying that, you know, I've experienced so much hurt. I want to just say that it's necessary. Or God is getting ready to take you. It had to happen that way. And if you don't remember anything else that I say today, I want you to remember to count it as a blessing.
Yes. Even when it looks like we don't understand, when we were saying that earlier, when God says no, you know.
That's
like my mom, of course, I didn't want her to die, but God said no to me, you know.
Yeah.
And I just have to take that he knows better. He knows what he's doing, you know.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's hard losing a loved one, someone you love, someone who's cared for you your whole life.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a separation. But when we see the greater, that this is someone that we're going to see in a good light, when it's all, you know, when it's all said and done on the earth, it's like when I think about everything that's happening now in the world, I think, okay, God, it had to happen that way. There's something God is saying in this season. I don't even want people to have to experience what we're experiencing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, but what your mother did in the world, it's like he allowed her to go. But he's also allowing you to do some of the things that she weren't able to do. You're carrying on. You know, you're carrying on her mental.
Yeah.
It's like she's living through you. Her gifts are being manifested through you.
Well, hey, listen, Kendra, I was in Washington, D.C. a couple of months ago doing that march. I did a march for Making America Godly Again. And, of course, you know, no Christians showed up after 6 months of plowing. But anyway. When I was out there, I felt the presence of the Lord so much. And I felt my mom there. I felt the great cloud of witnesses, you know. So, God is amazing. I'm so thankful you came on the broadcast today. Thank you so much.
I thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you for this opportunity. And this is a bride to accept me with open arms.
Yeah.
To know that, you know, I'm just a nobody. You know, I'm not, you know, a person who is just going around and just, you know, trying to be this or that. I'm saying, Lord, however you can use me.
Yes.
I came from, Lord, I don't want to be used. So, Lord, however you can use me. I just want to bring healing and deliverance to the people. My heart.
You know something else
for your
I
people.
See about you. Something else I see about you. When the enemy attacked you as a young child, he attacked your identity.
Mm.
And that is the main attack against the church today, is against her identity. And yes. So God is using you to help the people, the nobodies who think they're not nobodies, but that's the way the world has placed it upon them, you know. But you're helping
yes.
them to realize that they're very, very valuable in the kingdom. There is no I's in team. We're all
that's
in
right.
this together. You know what I mean?
That's right. No big I's, no
God
little U's.
Praise God for that.
Yes. Yes, no big eyes, no little U's. And the identity thing, it's funny you brought that up, is that, you know, you understand that the attacks never go away. They just
right.
become greater. When
yeah.
I was a kid, the identity thing was to mess with my mind and my mental so that I can think that I'm nobody. See, if the enemy can get in your mind and have you at a place of disbelief and believing that you're nothing, you can never grow to be something. You can never grow to be great. But the day the lady spoke to me and said that my IQ was above average, in which I felt that anyway, I made hundreds on everything, it was
yeah.
like something broke. Something broke. And what I'm saying today is that the words that God has used me to speak on this air today, I believe, June, that those that are listening, something has broken in their life.
Yeah.
They just needed to hear a word. They needed to be encouraged.
Yeah.
They needed to know that the enemy is going to forever fight your identity. If it's your identity, if he's fighting against who you are, you know, you're not going to be liked when you've been called of God. Prophets
right,
walk alone.
Right.
You know, it's lonely at the top. You know, I don't have many friends. I have a handful of people, just a handful of people I can say that I talk to rarely. I mean, talk to on a daily basis. But I spend most of my time encouraging people and trying to live my life right, making a conscious decision that every day that I get up, I'm going to strive and to do what God would call me to do. What would my father do? How would he respond?
Yeah.
Because at the end of my day, I know that it's not about me, but it's about the next person. It's about who needs something from God. Amen. So the attacks will never stop. In fact, the enemy is fighting my identity today. But what makes me a greater person is when I know the attacks of the enemy, and I can see him way before he gets to me, and I can walk away and say, not today, devil. Not today, devil.
Yeah.
You lost today. That's
right.
when you know that you are ready to be used by God, that you can just look the devil in his face and just turn around and walk off. Not today, devil. I see you, and you can continue doing what God has called you to do. And so, June, I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Keep opening up doors for people to tell their testimonies.
Yeah.
Because while you're opening doors for people like myself and others to come on and to share their testimonies, God is also doing something in you. He's also given you land. He's given you access to territories you may not have had access to.
Yeah, amen. That is the truth.
He is. Oh, yeah. He's opening up your region and putting your name in other people's spirit.
Yes.
God has given you favor because of your obedience.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people around you that think sometimes it doesn't take all of that, June. It doesn't take you doing this and that. But you are walking in obedience. And I want you to know that God is getting ready to close the mouths of your adversaries. The people that spoke against what you decided to do, the people that told you you shouldn't do this radio show, you know, this radio broadcast, they said, you know, June, I really think you shouldn't do that. They're going to be the same ones that are going to bless you.
You know why they told me that? Because when this started 4.5 years ago, the Lord told me, I say that's when I started in my pit. And the Lord, I had just graduated my master's degree, studied in London, had big plans. But the Lord shut all the doors, wouldn't let nobody hire me. 550 applications later, he told me, he said, get on your face and get right with me, because I was not completely sold out, because I knew the price I'd have to pay. So I sold out. I sold out and paid that price. And then he told me, he said, I want you to use what you learned in school and help my people. And that began a road of great persecution because I lost
yes.
everything I had, and people were telling me, you got a master's degree and you're living like this and you're losing everything. Something ain't right. You should be blessed. And then I'd tell them, you know, hey, this is just what the Lord told me to do. I don't know what to tell you. I've had meetings where they have blasted me and told me they're not going to support me or help me or nothing.
Wow.
I said, I'm not asking you to. I said, this is
wow.
just what the Lord said. Then the Lord said, I want you to travel. You're going to start serving ministries. He made me do it for mm-hmm. free for 3 years. He said, I want you to serve ministries with your skills. You're going to learn about ministry. So I started
wow.
traveling and living with ministers, and I would help the ministers with their websites, graphic design, all the stuff that I do. And I would help them become successful online, you know.
Wow.
And so I went through great persecution with that. And I would tell them, I don't know what to tell all y'all people except this is what God told me to do. So a couple of years later when he started radio and then television, and then I started doing tours, and then this year we did the 40 days fast. This is when I started coming out of the pit. We did 40
wow.
days fasting and praying from January 1st to February 10th. We prayed for the country and the presidential inauguration and all that. And then after that, the Lord woke me up 3 days with at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and downloaded the assignment of Mega Revival. And so then
wow.
I went on the road with nothing. I went on the road with $20, bald tires, and a rod knocking. The Lord told me, I want you to travel the entire border of the United States and pray for the country. Pray to secure
wow.
the borders and pray over cities. And I left with nothing. And God did it. Do you know, I was on the road 6 months. I drove 36 states, 18,000 miles. I interviewed tons of ministers. I interviewed people on the streets, and I asked them. I did two documentaries. One was, what is God doing in our country today? And the second one was, if you could talk to President Trump, what would you say? And then I did 4 revivals across the United States. One in, I know this sounds deep, but this all happened. One was in, the first one was in Houston. That represented the South. The next one was in Los Angeles. That was the West. And that was with Azusa Street. That was blessed. The North was Detroit. And then the East was Tennessee. And then we did the March, and that finished it. So now I finished this great assignment across the United States, and now he's got me in a holding pattern. I'm in a holding pattern.
Well, and even in that holding pattern, it's like being in the cocoon, knowing that you're going to come out like a butterfly. And I think the other beautiful part of what you said is that, you know, it's like you had to walk in obedience. God had you doing it this way. And sometimes I believe God will allow us to lose everything so that when he gives it to us, we'll never forget where we came from.
Come on now.
We'll never forget where we came from. So he's saying the blessings are coming, but when the blessings come, you will be able to maintain the blessings, because when you didn't have the blessings, you knew how to use your faith. You knew how to hold on. You knew how to stand up. So I believe sometimes God allows us to go through things also so that we'll know what not to do. We'll know how not to respond.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a part of the process. So you have really blessed me today. This whole broadcast has been a blessing. It's been just a true blessing to share with the bride my testimony and what God is doing, because I think we all have a testimony. Everybody has something that they've come from. But it's all in how do you allow your testimony to be a blessing to someone else? Is your testimony just a testimony of you saying, I went through this, but rather a complaint? Or is your testimony saying, I've been through it, and if I came through it, you too can come through it? Is your testimony blessing others? And is it allowing people to know that they can make it no matter what they go through? They too can make it. When people look at my face, June, they say, you're so beautiful. I can't imagine you going through anything.
People look at the outside. God looks at the inner heart. But when you can look at me and understand that we all have a story, come
yes.
on. You understand that, you know, everybody has something. And there are
yes,
there are people on this earth
have.
Who have been chosen, yeah, to share their stories to be a blessing to others.
Yes, amen. Well, we're going to end this broadcast today, Bride. Thank you so much for tuning in. Everybody have a blessed day. Thank you, sister, for being on today. God bless you.
Thank you so much for having me, June. God bless you as well.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless.